go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running at the end of this first full week of September. It's the sixth day of September, 2019. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go for all of your Horn podcasting needs. You can grab the podcast for just about any platform you could imagine. And if there's a platform you use and we don't have there, well, shoot me a note and I will let Brother Deacon Asa know and he can act accordingly. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Friday on the Front Porch is here. Hallelujah. Because I enjoy the Friday on the Front Porch conversation. Dadgummit, it's just fun. And if you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, then just run on over to HeadOn.live, and right there at the very top, you'll find a link for getting you into the Skype group, which takes place in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Yes, indeed. This program, like every other, begins with gratitude. Thanks to our subscribers for this sixth day of the month. And that means thanks are going out to Kitty in Boston, to Chris in Germany, to Alex, to Bob, to our buddy Don in West Tennistan, and to Kim in New Jersey. Malin and Kim, thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you very much indeed. Y'all take care, all taken together between Patreon and PayPal. Y'all knock down about a quarter of every month's fundraising needs, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you. If you'd like to be part of the happy slightly more than 100, then just use the PayPal interface at HeadOn.live and click the make this a recurring whatever, and there put in $10 and away you'll go, or whatever number you want to do. That's just fine. As far as fundraising goes to end the week, we're at $325, and there's a challenge on the table. A challenge from Rico in DeBerg. I like DeBerg, Pittsburgh. Rico said earlier today, I'd like to do a $50 Steelers will beat the Patriots challenge. No, wait. Make it the Steelers will destroy the Pats. So the Steelers destroy the Pats challenge is on the table. And you know what? Maybe if you, even if you're rooting for the Pats, maybe you want to get in on that side of it. But there's a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of Rico. And I confess, I'm a Steelers fan. You can't go to WVU for a bunch of years and not wind up being a Steelers fan. I lived in a house full of Steelers fans. It becomes infectious. Not in the million units of penicillin way, but infectious just the same. So if Rico's challenge is met, that takes us down to $225. And that's just a little bit more than we got a fighting chance of finishing the first month or first week of September on time. Hallelujah. So it's over, like I said, the interface is over there at headon.live. Also there, the chat room link. And if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific, well, pop on by there. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password. You'll be immediately greeted by Anatole and Squeaky and Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, for the first time in a very long time, using his Mickle powers as a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes, he's both Sparky and Man Cave at the same time. It's not just everybody can do that. Sparky tells me Grady is a happy shop dog today in the Man Cave. Good, good, good. Also saying, go Pats. You got nothing in it, Sparky. You're a Niners fan. Yeah, oh well. So away we go for this. And by the way, another program note. This will be another one of those truncated programs. We're only going for 2 hours this evening. I'm filling in for Mike again this evening because Kathy is still recuperating from the surgical procedure that she had this past Tuesday. And so I'll be there one more night. And then hopefully by come Monday, Mike will be back at it. So join me over on Progressive Voices on TuneIn at 9 p.m. and we'll continue the conversation. Did you say Stillers fan, says Lee in New York? Yes, I said Stillers. That's how you pronounce it in DeBerg. In Western PA, the vowel sound, long E, as in steel, is replaced by the short I sound of I, as in still, Stillers. And you go grocery shopping at the Giant Eagle. I know my Pittsburgh. But Lee asks, are you also a Distillers fan? Not as much as I once was, but I certainly do respect the art. One of the great whiskey styles is, of course, Western Pennsylvania style rye whiskey. Whiskey Rebellion and all of that. Ah, Rusty knows how to speak the language. Damn right. Yeah, yin stillers are hard as nails. Precisely. Absolutely. Bergie's cowbell for Rusty. You get it. So, like I said, 2 hour program this evening. So, we will be going to the Old Holler Tree in short order because I want us to have as much front porch time as we possibly can have. And, so whenever Sparky tells me that we're good to connect, will connect. In the meantime, what third switch, Randy? The third switch is already thrown, and the fourth and the fifth. Brother Deacon Asa has told me hot on both streams. So, yeah, I think everything's working as it's supposed to be. Let me respond to Randy there. Okay. Scott in San Diego says, Stillers. Must be a mid-Atlantic thing. My mom always referred to the fraternal organization as the Eagles. My mother said Eagle. And, of course, she was born and raised in West Virginia. I think it is a mid-Atlantic thing. Kind of a Western-ish mid-Atlantic thing. Isn't language and dialect just fascinating? Yens want to go to the Eaton Park and get some gravy fries? Want an Orange City beer? Mm-hmm. So let's run over and check in with Sparky at the head of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for this Friday on the front porch. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine. Let me explain something to you.
Yeah?
I was followed a Pittsburgh native last week to play on last year that played for Michigan by the name of Chase Winovich.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays for the Patriots now.
Ah, okay.
So I'm going to be watching that game and be have an eye on him. Tom Brady's from California. Don't forget that.
Well, that's true. He is. He is.
And he was a big Niners fan growing up.
And he too went to Michigan.
Yep. And that's where the former coach is, Jim Harbaugh, who was the last one to take the Niners to the Super Bowl but lost.
I may be one of the few people that remember that Tom Brady was also, drafted as a pitcher by the Reds?
I don't remember
that. Yeah, the same year he went in the football draft, he went in the baseball draft, and I think it was the Reds drafted him. Okay, well, at least that explains.
I thought usually guys get drafted out of high school or something. In baseball. I don't think Tom Brady played baseball at Michigan.
Somebody in the Horn Research Department, the ad hoc research department, will sort that out. But, maybe I'm wrong. But I seem to recall it. But no, there's a college baseball draft. I mean, there's a baseball draft, and they draft college players too.
Okay.
But that does explain it. Who do the Niners open with?
Buccaneers. They have to travel all the way to Tampa Bay, and then instead of coming back to San Francisco, they're going to stay in Ohio because they got to play the Bengals next week.
Or as the late, great Myron Cope used to pronounce it, the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was...
They'll be staying in Youngstown, Ohio, because that's where the team owner's from.
Ah, okay. Staying at his house?
No, it's been... They've had a deal there with some high school or something where they practice or something for years.
Well,
they used to stay there anytime they made an East Coast trip a few years ago.
Well, the mere mention of that, of the alma mater of Tom Brady, has already gotten on the wrong side of the Ohio State University fan. Steve in New York, he says, my ears are hurting. The correct name of that school in Ann Arbor is That School Up North. And brushes with greatness. By the way, my art teacher in high school, Mrs. Harbaugh, was Jim Harbaugh's aunt. How about that? Never a dull moment in the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Small world.
And Ron in Raleigh points out, and I noticed Raleigh was getting lashed with some Dorian rain and wind. Here in Raleigh, Ron says, there are more Steelers fans than there are Panthers fans. Go figure. And then asks, did you hear that Silvio Berlusconi is trying to rig it so there can be no challengers for the nomination? That's a new one. That's worth the cowbell. Yeah, Silvio Berlusconi. Is that yours, Ron, or did you pick that one up along the way? Because that's good.
Bob, I heard a good one.
Yes.
I hate hats.
Go, Scott.
I heard a good one. I was watching a DVR'd Stephen Colbert program, and his guest, his last name is Norton. I forget his first name. He's a British talk show host, Graham Norton. They were talking about Boris Johnson, the current Prime Minister of Great Britain, of England, and Trump.
Who said, by the way, Boris said he would rather be dead in a ditch, and there's a whole lot of the world that agrees.
Well, it would make for a good start, anyway. But Graham Norton refers to Trump and Boris Johnson as the angry Cabbage Patch Kids, or Cabbage Patch Twins, which I think is an apt a description, as I've heard thus far.
I saw a picture online of Boris Johnson and whoever the wag was who tweeted it, said he looks like your drunk uncle yelling at pigeons in a garbage bin.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a new determinator for ridiculousness that you can use in conversations regarding bad advice. That's like getting hair tips from Boris Johnson. That's one that just came to me as I was sitting here thinking about it.
That's quality. That's quality.
That isn't hair either. That's dead nerve endings. So, you know, which is a frightening thing when you think about it. But anyway, I want to get back briefly to regional dialects and accents and things.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember Robert McNeil from McNeil Lehrer?
Yeah, Robin McNeil, wasn't he?
His legal name was Robert, but his nickname was Robin. But in the 90s at some point, he did a multi-part documentary series called The Story of English.
Oh, I remember it well.
Oh, God, it was so good. And there was a companion book and all that. But I think you can still find it on YouTube. And if you're into regional dialects and accents and things and the origins of them, you can't go wrong with that documentary, The Story of English.
Oh, it's a fantastic series. I read the book too.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Have you seen that video of that guy harassing Boris Johnson as he's walking down the street in some town?
Yeah, the guy who just gave him Hail Columbia and said, you know, "Why aren't you in Brussels doing your damn job?"
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. I just couldn't tell if he wanted a hard Brexit or if he wanted no Brexit at all. It's kind of hard to tell when you're supposed to be rooting for somebody sometimes.
I guess the Prime Minister of England doesn't need that much security, huh?
He apparently not. And given which side of the aisle he's on, he doesn't have much to worry about. His side of the aisle is the one that does things like bumps off members of Parliament, if we think back to, you know, right before the Brexit election.
One of the conservatives that left the party was the grandson of Winston Churchill.
Yep, Soames. I think he was Churchill's daughter's son.
He didn't leave the party. They kicked him out, what I thought it was.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They did. It was explained to him that if he did not bow and scrape before Boris the Spider, that he would be booted from the Tories.
I mean, you know what? We have to give credits due. Say what you want about the Tories and whatever. Those people show some real principle in what they did, which, you know, of course, nothing like what, you know, Mitch the Dick and
how do you really feel?
Has done. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to tell you, it's in some weird way, it's heartening to see that there are still people left who will put the well-being of whatever country they're in above the politics.
Well, you know, they've got a damn near 1,000-year tradition of something approaching self-governance. You know, it was, 11 something or 12 something, I think. You may even know the date.
when the barons got together and said, no, King John, come on out. We want to get together. We want to have a little party on the field at Runnymede. We'll be there. You be there. And they explained him that, he could sign that there Magna Carta, or he could hang from that there tree.
That way, I thought it was the 13th. Wait, no.
No, it's the 1200s.
Was the 12th.
Yeah, so the 13th century.
Right.
I'm thinking like 1215 or something like that.
Yeah, because Richard is... I've been rather immersed in that period of history lately. Richard got himself held hostage on his way home from the Crusades. And Philip Augustus, King of France, encouraged John to revolt against Richard. And then Philip Augustus took back the Vexin, which was a little county in the west of Picardy that sat not too far from Paris. It had all been rather of a nasty little controversy for a while. Yeah, 1215, says Lee in New York.
But I've got a question, Bob, about the Churchill's grandson, I think, is gone, okay? And also Boris Johnson's own brother,
Joe,
was kicked out.
No. Boris's brother quit.
Oh, well, okay. Good.
You can't fire me. I quit.
But here's my question. What kind of strategy is this? If your power and control is determined by a majority and you cause people to go away who are in your party, thus whittling away at your majority, what kind of fucking strategy is that?
He's an idiot.
Wasn't the overall strategy... I thought the overall strategy was to call a general election, and he thought that would actually give him more seats in Parliament in order to go through
with the new kibosh on that. They put the kibosh on that. It went to a vote yesterday, and he got his ass handed.
But I'm saying I think that's what Johnson's strategy was. But he looks like he's got a strategy about as good as...
Johnson has as much strategy as Trump does.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that he was looking for
votes from
Alabama.
Whichever way the wind's blowing at the moment.
He was looking for votes from Alabama. He was sure that Alabama would come to his rescue.
Jesus, we're in day six of that bullshit. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, here's the latest Alabama revelation regarding the Sharpie-altered weather map of the track of Hurricane Dorian. Up in Trump's attic at the White House, there is a weather map just that way that is aging as Trump continues to fuck around with his Sharpie. You know, the picture of Dorian, the hurricane map.
Yeah, my... One of my favorite images so far, and there's a jillion of them. Just go look under the hashtag #SharpieGate.
Hold the phone. The White House has an attic?
Yes, it does.
Well, it's in the basement, but yeah, technically it's an attic.
Oh, stop it. You're only making matters worse.
I know. I do that.
It does have an attic. I've toured the White House, West Wing and all.
I would think it would. I mean, since you've got that cupola and the Greco-Roman architecture and all of that bullshit. But no, if you look under Sharpie Gate, there's some great, great work being done out there. One showed that picture of Nitwit Nero walking with the umbrella over his head and leaving Melanoma to walk in the rain. And somebody Sharpied some umbrella out over her. But the best one, though, was just a picture of a Sharpie, and it said Sharpie. And then there was a picture of him with a Sharpie lid on his head that said not so Sharpie.
There we go.
Keldo.
I saw this morning. The campaign is trying to cash in by selling Sharpies with his signature name on them.
Yeah, because the grift never ends.
I saw one today, Trump, just a face photo of him pursing his lips, and with the Sharpie, somebody has drawn a cat walking away with Trump's lips being the cat's ass, which I thought
that's an old one.
Yeah, that's been around for a long time.
Is it?
Just, Yeah, it just happens to be
again.
Yeah, it's really accurate.
He got that from his mother. If you ever see a picture of her.
Well, and the hair too.
Are they that inbred in Scotland? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, well, I mean, she didn't come from... Mary MacLeod didn't come from Scotland, Scotland. She came from a little...
Oh, she came from the island.
A little barely populated island where the gene pool was so shallow you couldn't drown a piss ant in it.
Where Kentuckians would look over and go, damn... You've got a toothpick in the back of your Bible. Yeah.
So, where was I?
What is it going to take?
Well, the reality of it is that it's, well... What I was saying, I'm sorry, I just had to wool gather for a moment. I actually had a thread I was working toward. The British have, you know, 800, 900 years of experimentation with the idea of self-governance. Their parliament is the mother of parliaments. And so they might have a little bit more dedication to the idea of preserving it. Our little puny 200 plus year history of having a constitution is replete with multiple efforts to undermine it. And so I guess it's, you know, it's a bit much to expect Republicans to put the country before their party. I mean, they've never done it before.
Well, Churchill himself switched parties like 3 times.
Oh, he changed parties more often than he changed his socks.
I read a 900-page biography of Winston Churchill written by a man named Roy Jenkins, who served in the Parliament with him. And he explained all the ins and outs of how parliamentary procedure works. Johnson will remain prime minister as long as there's not a no confidence vote, something that he's staking his chancellorship on. Now, if they can push him to do that, and I have a feeling the Brexit issue is going to become his hamstring, and they vote, and these defectors vote with the liberal Democrats, then.
Well, that's, yeah, but Dave, that's where you got to hang on for a minute, because as Brother Deacon Asa said a minute ago, let's hold off on giving credit to these Tories that have been booted from the party. Some of those fuckers aren't siding with Boris because he isn't hardline enough.
Well, Churchill's grandson's following in a family tradition. Is my point. It's not shocking that one of Winston's grandkids would be part of this mess, because he was notorious for starting shit. Even his father, Randolph, was notorious for political skullduggery. I mean, we kind of lionize him here in the States.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Churchill was a notorious racist. He is as hated in some corners of the globe as the devil himself.
Especially in India.
His political genius, and particularly his military genius, was subject to question. Remember,
Gallipoli,
precisely. And so it's, I've read a bunch of Churchill bios too, because I've
never read the Roy Jenkins one, Bob. I recommend it.
When I get some spare time, I'll check it out. I read the William Manchester ones, and they were brilliant. But the larger point is that Republicans here do not hold as much value for the institution as, generally speaking, the British do. Because it isn't always convenient for their, in terms of their political expediency. Now, if they lose the Senate in 2020, please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let that be true, you will suddenly find them to be dedicated institutionalists saying, we must preserve the filibuster so that the grand traditions of the Senate can be carried forward, and we can, and we must not have any new Supreme Court justices because Republicans ain't running this joint. But well, in case you missed it, Massacre Mitch doubled down again on the idea of, well, hell yeah, if there's a vacancy in the Supreme Court, we're gonna fill it. Y'all didn't take me serious. I was just making sure with that Merrick Garland business about a year before the election and all that shit, I was just making sure Barack Obama stayed 3/5 of a president like he was supposed to.
And instead of 3/5 of a president, now we've got 3/5 of a attorney general.
Well, among other things, there's a story out of Business Insider today that says that the way I read it, the Captain Queeg watch has begun. He is deteriorating in plain sight. One Republican strategist who is in frequent contact with the White House told Business Insider today, no one knows what to expect from him anymore. His mood changes from one minute to the next based on some headline or tweet, and the next thing you know, his entire schedule gets tossed out the window because he's losing his shit.
I heard that there is a federal law that prohibits someone from giving false weather reports, which means dumbass Donnie is in violation of federal law just on that.
Yeah, but while it may be an impeachable offense, that's not going to... There's so much other stuff out there, that's barely going to get a mention.
Well, you might as well add it to the book that they're going to have to write when they write these damned articles, because he's going to make Nixon look like a choir boy.
Among other things, another person...
Wait a minute. Let's not go crazy. It gives like even more. It will take even more than Trump's shoddy reputation to make Nixon look like a choir boy. And same goes for W.
He is making Nixon look like a goddamn choir boy.
Well, I don't know.
And Nixon was his dirtiest sin.
Well, no, no, he's not. Nixon was filthy, and Nixon was a crook. What you're talking about? It's not choir boy versus devil. It's two different kinds of devil. Nixon deteriorated. But Nixon was a crook through and through. So too is Trump, but Trump is falling apart as a result of mental decline, not booze and barbiturates.
Well, and there's the matter of competency that Nixon brought to bear. I mean, win, lose, or draw, like him or not, he at least was a congressman and a senator and a vice president and actually knew something. He actually wrote his own books. And God knows I'm not a Nixon apologist by anybody's definition.
But by comparison, any president of the United States previously could at least complete a sentence in English.
Well, there is that. There is that.
But now, somebody who's close to the Trump legal team has said he's like a bull seeing red. There's no getting through to him. and you can kiss your plans for the day goodbye because you're basically stuck looking after a four-year-old.
Well, Pence wants to be president so goddamn bad he should invoke the 25th. But like the Nazi regime, Trump's got it set up so that the cabinet will play off against each other for their own little piece of the power. So nothing's going to happen to him unless the Congress gets some stones.
I'm still content to wait because the evidence isn't the kind of smoking gun that did Nixon in isn't there yet.
Oh, I understand that, Bob. And the one thing I understand is about Pence is on the very last day that he could apply to run as governor of the state of Indiana. That's the day that Trump announced that he was tapping him as his running mate.
Right, because he was dog food in the governor's race there, which is saying something.
There were signs that said Pence must go, and after the election, the signs read, "We said Pence must go. We didn't say he must go to Washington."
There are other paranoid dynamics at work here. It is said that people are jockeying around inside the White House, that Javanka want to replace him with a wall man to try to overcome all the nastiness that comes with being Trump. Hold on, Dave. And so if that gets real, then Pence might actually be willing to sign that Section 4 25th Amendment letter just as a way of keeping his own hide in his own sinecure.
I bet it's already signed, Bob. And I bet Trump already knows it's been signed. And I bet the way it plays out, because Pence is a dirty SOB who would do it. He would look over at Trump and say, "Step out of line." Why do you think?
No. I think you're a little too far afield, Dave. Because he's got to have half of the cabinet too. Now, back when Mattis was there, or Rex Tillerson and that bunch, there was a slim outside chance that you might have scrounged up a few people to sign a 25th Amendment letter. They're not there now. It's just a bunch of toadies and lick spittles. They'll have to be sold on it.
Yeah, can acting people sign it?
And that's an open question because of the way the language of the amendment reads. Let me pull it up here again. It seems like I do this every couple of days. You'd think I had it memorized by now.
Anybody in the Horn family do needlepoint? You can make a sampler and put it on a pillow for Brother Bob.
That would work.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Hey, little Rick. What's happening?
Hey.
Okay. So here.
Update later on.
So here we go. The principal officers of the executive departments. So even if you're acting. I think you could argue that they're principles.
Yeah, because they're the cabinet officer at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The only reason they're acting is because nobody's willing to vote for them in the Senate.
Yeah, there's not been a confirmation for that position, but there's still
or even a nomination.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the way Trump needs it, because he needs a weak cabinet that he can dominate.
Hey Bob.
Yes, Dave.
What was it? You said that the term was prince. What was the term?
Well, okay. Here's the first sentence of Section 4. Whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit, da-da-da-da-da. Principal officers of the executive departments. I mean, that encompasses people who aren't even cabinet secretaries. I mean...
You know what that sounds like to me?
What?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No. That's quite all right. I was just going to say that would take in the National Security Advisor.
Arguably, that would take in the
Chief of Staff.
I agree. What I think it means, I'm not so sure it would take in. Well, what it sounds to me is like what it means is that I would suspect that acting heads of departments are not included in that. That the principal would be in a given department the highest confirmed person in that department, or the highest person that the last confirmed secretary appointed.
Not because Steve. Principles is a term of art within the executive branch. You'll hear talk of a meeting of the principals.
The principals meeting.
Yeah. And so whoever's at the head of the department shows up. But, for instance, the director of the CIA is not technically a member of the cabinet.
But is a principal.
But is a principal.
You know how I get you, because I remember Al Franken made a big deal about this right after W was elected, that they didn't have a principals meeting regarding the potential, you know, after the for terrorism until on September 10th, which, I mean, in that context, principal would certainly mean anybody in a national security capacity who directly advises the president. Like you said, the director of the NSA, the CIA, could that be like the director of national intelligence? Could it be all those people?
Yes.
Genius that they waited till the day before September 11th to have their first meeting. Huh? Wasn't that a great administration?
Oh, Rick, it's just, well, but
W.
Getting back to what you're saying there, Bob. See, that starts to make why he and a lot of his people attacked Brennan and all those people so much. I mean, I'm not a fan of Brennan or any of those people, because I remember when they were doing shit that a lot of us on the left were saying we don't like those people because of what they're doing. But putting that aside. When you read that amendment again, it starts to explain his actions. Now, when I say his actions, I don't think he has any idea what the amendment says, but I think the right people around him probably whispered in his ear and said, these are the people you need to watch out for. And I think that the person whispering in his ear was probably maybe Pence. But I think Stephen Miller is – I think he is the de facto chief of staff, vice president. He is the Hermann Göring here. The deputy Führer, so to speak. And I think the guy's disgusting.
Well, interesting you would cite Hermann Göring, because one nickname I saw for Stephen Miller recently is Pee Wee Hermann Göring.
Give yourself a cowbell.
It's not mine. I can't give a cowbell on that.
Okay. I want to slap the guy in the face. And I know Agent Fred. I want to make clear, Agent Fred, that was only Steve saying that. That was not the position of the horn. So.
And it's entirely speculative, because you are utterly unable to do anything of the sort. It's
true.
It is wishful thinking.
But if I ever see him,
that.
If I haven't slapped the shit out of John Voight when I see him, you can, you know, come on now.
Oh, Tracy, I'll join you on that one.
Yeah, but well said. I mean, that's something that could actually happen.
Can I just tell you, Bob? And I'm sorry to interrupt, Tracy. I'll shut up. I could not. That was so nutso.
Acid-tinged.
I couldn't believe that he was serious. I just couldn't believe it.
He is. I mean, he is. He's not punking anybody. He's every bit as bizarre as Chlamydia Claudius is.
I mean, love? How could you ever describe it? How could anyone? I don't know. I
just want to know, because, see, what sucks is because I drive a cab, I can't smoke weed or anything like that, even though it's legal here in California. But I want to know what the fuck John Voight was smoking that he thinks that, what's that fool, the current occupant in the White House is anything about love or compassion. Just the fact, because I haven't really been following the news about Dorian and death like Jan has he once mentioned or given condolences about the people that are being, that's what's happening in the Bahamas?
The Bahamas! Nothing!
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of crickets about that, actually.
The Bahamas is one of those shithole countries.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of Negroes.
Yep. I want to tell you something. My 70-plus-year-old father said something to me the other – and my dad's an old guy. My dad was actually a fairly enlightened person, but he actually said to me the other day – and this I was proud of this. He says, Trump just doesn't like brown people.
Nope.
And to hear my dad say that, it's becoming pretty – Tracy, you know what? We've had those little chats on the Messenger, and I'm mm-hmm. every day – I don't know how else to describe it. You kind of stare. It's like staring at a car accident, and you know you shouldn't look, but you can't.
You shouldn't look, but you can't, because it's like, you know, when people, it boggles my mind on a regular basis. Okay, I get white people voting for him, especially white men. With white men with money. I don't get poor white motherfuckers that are voting for him. I'm like, she's stupid, but okay, you're racist or whatever. But when black people, when gay people, when women.
I got another Jesse Lee Peterson clip if you need me to play it.
Oh, hell no.
I'm fresh out of hockey pucks, Bob. I can't handle that.
Look, I'm having a relatively good day. You know, I weight loss thing, happy news. I lost another 3.4 pounds this week.
Woo!
Okay, for a total weight loss. Of 32.2 pounds since June.
Awesome. There you go.
So that's about, I'm average. So I have, as of this week, I've been on Weight Watchers for 90 days, for 3 months. So
that's awesome. When are you going to do the commercials?
Honey, I'm working on a trust because, man, I'm trying to get to Oprah's home. I'm trying to get to Oprah's house in Mendocino so I can show out. And take
Oprah has a house in Mendocino?
Isn't that? Yeah, uh-huh. That's where the big house is. Well, that's Mendocino. That's Santa Barbara County, right?
You did not call it the big house.
No. Mendocino isn't in Santa Barbara County.
Is it what? Isn't it like Central Coast though?
No, it's north of San Francisco, I think.
Okay, yes. what's next to Fort Bragg? What's the town that begins with the M that's up in Santa Barbara County? Because remember when we had that flat?
You're thinking of Montecito.
That's it. Okay.
Montecito. It's a northern suburb of Santa Barbara.
That one. That's where she lives.
Yeah. Lots of money up there.
She has the house, and she has like a amphitheater in her backyard. I don't even know if you can call that a backyard. Anybody? You have a fucking amphitheater in your backyard. Come on now. But she had this big thing when Selma came out, and she had this huge celebration and bought out the movie theater in Santa Barbara, whatever. and had all these civil rights icons that were there for, you know, that there was during, that were around during the summer march and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I'm working on it, dude, because my leader today, she's like, wait a minute. She's like, I can't, you know, you are exceeding what most people do. And I'm like, I'm not doing anything special. If you could, if y'all could have seen what the debauchery that went on Catalina Island on Sunday and the things that I drank and ate, not so much. And then I had serious Mexican food on Monday. I had jambalaya Tuesday and Wednesday. I did have fish yesterday, but I don't eat like I used to. I don't eat as much as I used to. I still eat what I want, but it's just, you know, it's I feel good. And I started swim lessons and all that good stuff because, you know, black people in water, not so much. So I'm like, yeah. So it's coming along because I got to, you know, as much as I hate what's going on and I get so depressed and just so just upset and just shut down, I have to think about the fact I got to stay in shape and I got to, well, get in shape and stay healthy because I got to be around for the fight. I cannot lay down. I have to do what I can do to fight this bullshit because it's insane when you turn on, when you hear shit like John Voight and, you know, black people like Jesse Lee Peterson and Diamond and Silk, you know, and Rayon. I'm going to start calling them Rayon and Cupid Zirconia. That's what they should be called because
nylon,
they're useless.
Nylon and paste.
Nylon and paste.
How about chintz? You know, nylon and chintz.
No, we got to do something with the with the stones. You know, because diamonds.
Yeah,
you know,
paste.
So paste. Because it's just again when you know how this man feels about black people, when you know this is a man that took out full page ads about the Central Park, well, now called the Exonerated Five, and said that these children, that they should be put to death. There was no trial or anything like this. He took out full page ads in how many newspapers in New York? Like four or five newspapers.
When they've been exonerated.
Huh? When were they exonerated?
I said when they... He was still calling for it after they were exonerated.
See? Still.
I have a theory. Still. I have a theory. And it's this. You know, we know that he learned his racism from his daddy because his daddy was a vicious, racist landlord and a member of the Klan. But one of the things that I noticed at one point when someone was talking about his racism, well, some little maggot responded, yeah, but like in the 90s, he dated a black woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I yell?
A little bit. So here's it was bad enough probably before that, but I'm guessing he dated a black woman, dropped trow at one point, and she went, ha!
Oh, you came up short.
And that everything since flows from that.
Yeah. See, when you get, you know, when you, cause he has serious issues with black women. Serious.
He now, probably tried to lay some of his bullshit on her and she said no.
And, I have an explanation for the Bahamas, courtesy of Lee in New York. Dorian, Trump, and the Bahamas. Trump would visit the Bahamas, but Trump has no property there. Trump does not know where the paper towels are. Trump is waiting to visit the Alabama devastation first, and he's mad that he couldn't drop a nuclear device in Dorian.
That part.
Hey, guys, how do we know there wasn't a nuclear bomb dropped on the tornado after or on the hurricane? After all, it didn't come ashore to the U.S. for the most part, right?
Oh, don't.
We may have diverted it.
Don't. Don't get.
No, he just prayed it. They just prayed it away. And by the way, Bob,
it's the water temperature.
No.
And the prayers.
It's a joke. Yeah. It's a joke.
No, Bob. I think Tracy deserved a cowbell when she said when pulled down the pants and he came up short.
I'm in agreement.
What do you guys think about Stormy Daniels testifying before Congress?
I think it's fucking awesome.
I think it's going to be absolutely delicious. I can't wait.
Bring it on.
If they don't have a member of the House staff, if they don't have like somebody from House catering just passing out bags of popcorn like they do at Rural King. Because I mean, I'll have mine.
Well, because I know that's going to be one of those days where I have it on. Because it'll be on in the morning, more than likely before I leave in the morning, depending on what time of the day it is. And then I will have it on in the car. I will have it on when I get out the car on my phone. I will be just like with the Kavanaugh hearings. I was on that the whole damn day, and it was just like I said, it was on in my house. It was on as I walked out the house with my phone on, and then I put it on the radio.
You're breaking up, Tracy.
Yeah, you stopped holding that one hand up in the air, didn't you? It's amazing to me that even in a place like L.A., you got, you know, dead spots.
Yeah.
Oh, the terrain is
you get a lot of canyons and mountains. Yeah.
For TV reception or FM, the terrain plays havoc with reception.
I can imagine it. God knows it does here.
Okay. Can I ask a legal question of you and Rick?
Give it a try, Scott.
Well, I didn't know if we had finished on this current topic.
Don't forget Steve.
Yeah, it's Steve.
Oh, yeah. Steve's on. I'm sorry. About 40 minutes ago, the New York Times put up a piece about the Justice Department opening an antitrust inquiry into the four major automakers that struck a deal with California to reduce automobile emissions, according to people familiar with the matter, escalating a standoff between Trump, California, and the auto industry. Basically, if you're not familiar, I think what the four automakers want to do is ignore Trump's rollback of emission standards and just keep doing as they've been doing, pretty much, and be responsible in the sense that they want to keep the emissions down as opposed to bend to the wind and the whims of this fool. Is that antitrust is what I'm asking? For four major industry representatives, companies, to decide that they can do business in a responsible way and not yield to politically motivated changes. So that's my question for you guys.
I got a question, Scott. Is it who's bringing the antitrust action? Is it the Trump administration?
The Justice Department.
Trump administration. Okay, Justice Department. Well, an antitrust violation, it's somewhat hard to prove, and I mean, they're not colluding as to price of the vehicle. That's usually the main, you know, concern. If you have a group of industry leaders that are agreeing on what the price will be and keeping the price artificially high, so they're not doing anything that's detrimental to consumers. In fact, they're trying to give consumers what they want, whereas Trump is basically trying to screw the pooch as far as fuel efficiency goes.
Hang on. He's also trying to engage in something that Republicans supposedly despise, and that is a command economy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What's the command economy
on the left?
Tracy, did you say what's a command economy?
Yes. What is a command?
Soviet Union.
Well, like when the Soviet Union said, we now announce glorious five-year plan to make 50 million tractors, even though we have 20 million farmers. They were, by God, going to build those tractors one way or the other.
Gotcha.
And when I think of antitrust, I think of the tobacco companies back all through the 20th century up until they finally got caught in the 1990s and had to become responsible, more or less. Were they actually colluded as an industry to keep the truth of the dangers of tobacco from consumers? And like you say, this is not that. This is basically the auto industry saying, look, we're not going to build two versions of cars in the country, the California version and the version for everybody else. Hell, they decided
we ain't going back. We ain't going back. California already gave him the big finger. Said, fuck you.
Oh, I know.
We're not laxing our standards. We'll see you in court.
Hey, you guys want to hear something stunning?
Go, Steve.
The international effects.
Hey, Bob. How are you, friend?
I'm good, brother. You healing? Your arm healing up?
Yeah. Scott, how you doing, man? I didn't mean to walk on you. I apologize for that, man.
No, that's all right. I've been married twice. I know how...
Wow. No, but this is stunning, man. And
I kicked my heart through the goalpost, Jesus.
I got to let you guys know, because you're going to find out in the news anyhow, we're having a fucking Klan rally next week.
Yep, right there in downtown Dahlonega.
Yep. So, Bob, you're already aware. Jesus Christ, man. And I don't know what to do. I'm a nonviolent person. Karen and I have decided we're just going to try to convince all our like-minded friends not to patronize town next week.
Or how about not to patronize the town?
That's what
right.
You said, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, Tracy.
Because they hear only through their wallets. Either you speak out against the Klan, or we go somewhere else.
Well, let me ask the Horn family, how would you handle this? I mean, would you go up there and raise hell and butt heads with them? There's nothing good going to come out of that. No.
I know what I would do. I would go pray the rosary right in front of them. They hate Catholics. Carry crucifixes and play the rosary. Don't they hate Catholics?
No,
they hate everybody.
In fact, the Klan rally that Fred Trump got busted at was an anti-Catholic Klan rally.
And Congressman Doug Collins, who unfortunately is my representative, is presenting this as a pro-Trump rally. Bullshit. He knows exactly what he's doing, man.
Well, you know what? Let's take a run at
What's
that for
difference?
A minute. But hold on. Let's take a run at this. If they're going to show up in their robes and carry pro-Trump signs, I can't think of a better thing that could happen.
Yeah, pictures and everything right there.
Oh, it'll make the news. I can almost goddamn guarantee it'll be on CNN, MSNBC, Fox may even have
Kleagles for Trump.
Well, the thing is, you keep hearing about the modern KKK, you know, the 21st century KKK.
Right, which, they don't wear hoods anymore. You know, they've come out of the closet.
Well, they've done worse. They've got colorful, form-fitted percale sheets with a high thread count and a solar-powered cross. I mean, they're trying their best.
Okay, all right.
Still not making it.
You're working real hard tonight, Scott. You're getting the cowbell for the solar-powered cross.
And there was
for the effort.
There was that one Kleagle back in the upper Midwest a few years ago who shot himself. Because a recently appointed Negro Episcopal bishop had nicer robes, and he just couldn't take it. He just ended it. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Well, my representative, Doug Collins, like I said, he presented this as a pro-Trump rally. And all of a sudden, Trump wants to appoint him in some cabinet position now. Probably acting, you know.
Acting something or another. That's
because he's kissing his ring, you know. And that's a nice way to put he's kissing his ass.
There are more actors.
Isn't he the creep in the Judiciary Committee?
Yeah.
Yes.
There are so many actors in the administration. They're opening a SAG chapter.
That one fell a little flat. That one fell a little flat, Dave. That's okay.
I know. I'm trying.
I know. Hey, Steve. I know you. You are a lover of great music. Sad day yesterday. Did you see the news out of the Shoals?
I've been trying to bury my head in from the news. You really can't.
Jimmy Johnson, the genius guitar player from the Swampers, Muscle Shoals Sound, passed away at the age of 76.
Oh my God!
Oh, that's sad. Jimmy Johnson. Now, wasn't he a Delta Blues man or
no? The line in Sweet Home Alabama. And Muscle Shoals has got the Swampers, and they've been known to pick a tune. Right?
Yes, we do.
That was
they backed up Aretha Franklin. Oh, everybody.
Yeah, I think it was Leon Russell's producer that named those guys. You know, David Hood, Jimmy Johnson, Barry Beckett, Spooner Oldham. All they were the Swampers. But he passed away. Yeah, the list of things that he played on or produced will blow your mind. Let me see.
Are they in the documentary?
Oh yeah.
Did he do that guitar riff in Sweet Home Alabama?
No, that's Lynyrd Skynyrd. But
that's Ed King, I believe. Scott.
I mean, just this list is mind blowing.
Hey, Sparky, is he still here? Is he here?
Hey, what are some of the songs?
How hot is it up in your neck of the woods in California, up in Northern California right now?
Right now, about 89 degrees.
Motherfucker! It is 103.
But we got a big fucking forest fire going to the west of it.
Well, there's one going on down here. Well, Murrieta Drive towards San Diego, and I'm on the 101 heading east. I see a big thing of black smoke coming on the other side of the freeway. It's not on my side of the freeway, so I know it's not my house. But
black smoke has chemicals in it.
Yep.
One of our local NBC reporters yesterday was covering that fire up by Murrieta. Yep. And on live TV, got retardant dumped on him and the other. Oh God, yeah. I was sitting here watching. I said, "Oh, that's not good."
So this will give you an idea. Going back to Jimmy Johnson, check out this riff.
Bob Seger, gentlemen.
Main Street. Oh, I love that song.
You hear that guitar?
I didn't think Bob was a Seger fan. No, it's that Turn the Page song.
That's the one that drives me crazy. Yeah. But yeah. Main Street. I mean, just this list is mind-blowing. Mustang Sally and Hey Jude by Wilson Pickett.
Whoa.
Played on and... Well, engineer production, Respect by Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Mama by Etta James.
Oh, now that's a man.
Take a Letter, Maria by R.B. Greaves.
Take a Letter, Maria.
I'll Take You There by the Staples Singers.
What a great song. And a lot of musicians.
Kodachrome.
Paul Simon, yeah. They'll just be wandering through the studio, and they'll grab them and say, hey, they're that good. They can just put a piece of sheet music in front of them, and they'll nail it. Byron Belen's the same way on the fiddle. I mean, some call it a violin. I mean, he's played with everybody from the Birds to Fish. I mean, just an incredible. Bella Flex is another one. He's a excellent banjo player.
Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Come, Main Street. He was actually supposed to be co-engineer when the Stones came to the Shoals in 1969, but the lead engineer couldn't get a work visa, so he wound up being lead engineer Sticky Fingers? Yeah. And so he's this.
Wow, what a talent.
Rick will be interested to know this.
Wild Horses.
Byron also played on Country Honk, which is the country version of Honky Tonk Woman. It's off of Let It Bleed. And I've heard that they're just, you know, they'll be walking through the studio and they'll grab them. Or they'll go pick them up like they did Mary Clayton at 3 in the morning and say,
hey. 3 in the morning so she could play, so she could sing for the, with the Rolling Stones. Yeah. She's like, the Rolling, who?
Who? And that made that song iconic. Without her, that song would have never charted. Nah.
Which song again is that?
Jimmy Shelter.
And
This is
Children. It's just a shot away.
Yeah, this is a little more. This is a little more obscure, but it's a great riff.
That's Blackfoot.
Oh yeah. Train.
Here come.
Yep.
Train. Here comes.
Dolly Parton redid it too.
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson and David Hood co-produced Blackfoot.
Wow.
I've seen them probably more than any other band I've ever seen. Blackfoot.
Are they still playing, Steve?
I don't think so, but I've probably seen them over 30 times at various bars and various venues, and they always just put on a hell of a show.
Yeah. Hey, I saw a show on Wednesday at the Wiltern.
Yeah.
Purple. Yeah. Yeah, I finished my assignment, my Bitcoin case, at least the brief, and treated myself to third row seat in the second section. I was probably 50 feet away from the stage.
Purple. Do you mean Deep Purple? Or
Deep Purple. Deep Purple, yeah. Yeah.
Well, John Lord's passed.
I know, but, you know, they still haven't really,
Sure. Who was the lead singer, Rick?
Ian Gillan. He started doing it, like, in 69 and then did it to 73. Then he did it again 84 to 89. And since 92, he's been the lead vocalist. He sounds really good still. And I understand he was in Jesus Christ Superstar, I think.
Yeah, he was. He was the original Jeebus on the album version.
Oh, was he? Okay. Yep. Okay. And then they have Roger Glover, who's the bassist. He's been around since, like, 84. He played with Rainbow before then. Mm-hmm. And then the only true original is Ian Pace, who's the drummer.
This is,
like, from 68. Okay, going back to 68. Then they got Steve Morse, who's a really good guitarist, helped to found Dixie Dregs in Kansas. He's been with them since, like, 94. And then they have Don Airey, who's on the keyboards, and he's been with them since 2002. He replaced a guy who retired, I guess John Lord retired.
Lord's no longer on this earthly plane.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Yeah, but he retired a while ago.
And that's no fault of yours, Rick. He passed a few years ago. He's mastered the Hammond B3 system, you know, where that's the amp that had the spinning horn.
Yeah, okay. I love the fact that we have to include the disclaimer that was one that Rick was not responsible for.
Hey, I mean, you know, it happens once and then I get blamed for everybody, huh? Come on. Petty was just a one-off, guys. Come on. But, you know, it's amazing to see musicians that are this experienced and
that
expert,
old.
You know.
They'll do it, you know.
Oh, I mean, you know, they played, you know. The only song they didn't play, I expected them to play, was, you know, My Woman from Tokyo. They didn't play that.
They did Highway Star. They opened with
Highway Star. Yeah, yeah, they opened with Highway Star. And then they did Pictures of Home, Bloodsucker, Demon's Eye, Contact Lost, Sometimes I Feel Like Screaming, Uncommon Man. They did Lazy, Time for Bedlam. They
did they do Hordes of Chaos?
No, they didn't do Hordes of Chaos.
Because
yeah.
ever since I heard about Hordes of Chaos the other night with Chris McDonald and Firefighter Prophet Mark Taylor talking, I've been really wanting to hear Hordes of Chaos.
Well, they did do some Space Truckin', and of course Smoke on the Water,
Godzilla,
and Hush, and then Black Knight. No, they didn't do God. Oh, that's you're confusing your band. That's
Blue Oyster Cult.
Same sort of general color scheme, but you know, Deep Purple's a little darker than the Blue Oyster Cult, I guess, in terms of color. But yeah,
you know why I always crossed them up is because My Woman from Tokyo and Godzilla, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Godzilla's a good song. I love that song.
There goes Tokyo, go go Godzilla, and
Right, yeah.
Did Deep Purple ever perform the song Deep Purple?
No, they did. That was actually, I think, on their first album, and then they changed the name of the band to conform to the song, because before then they were called, what were they called?
Words of Chaos?
Flower Pot Men, I think. Let's see.
They should have gone with Hordes of Chaos.
There was a pop top 40 type version of it, the song Deep Purple, in the late 50s, early 60s, by Nino Temple and.
Oh, actually, Scott, you're right. You're right. According to Wiki, the group changed its name to Deep Purple after the song of the same name by Nino Temple and April Stevens came out in the early 60s. So,
And what were they before?
I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say what they were. I guess they were the No Name Band or something. No, Roundabout it was called. Roundabout was the name of the band.
That's an album by the group Yes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Right. It is. Yeah.
And
so
it goes on and on. That's another DJ go to the bathroom 3 o'clock in the morning song.
Hey.
Or in Scott's case, go down to the Rippy Mart for a pack of smokes and get locked out of the studio.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, you mentioned another quick radio quickie, Bob. In 73 at my very first radio job. The music director, the program director, was a retired Air Force guy and who always wanted to be in radio. So he went to radio school, blah, blah, blah. And he did the late afternoon program. And I came in at 6 and did 6 to midnight. Well, we got a promo copy of Kodachrome by Paul Simon. And he refused to let us play it because of the word crap in the lyric. And he even went so far as to put a bunch of little stickers, those little colorful dot stickers, all over the single and the album cut, so that we couldn't play it.
And what a
pissed
dick.
Me off. Yeah, I know, but you got to figure. Some people.
Kodachrome? He didn't like Kodachrome, huh?
When yeah, I think in 1973.
Back to all the crap I learned in high school.
And get this, in D.C., there was a station who actually beeped crap.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Oh, because back then the FCC were a bunch of fucking Nazis.
Well, actually, that's not necessarily the case, because the Steve Miller song, you know, all that funky shit going down in the city, for the longest time they used to not beep that, and they just started beeping that in the 90s.
Oh, no, No.
That's what I remember.
No.
Well, maybe you were different part of the country.
That was funky kicks going down in the city from Jump, where I was.
Well, no, it wasn't, though, from where I was. I used to hear shit.
I didn't hear shit, man.
The first tune I heard bleep was Jonathan Edwards' Sunshine, because he said damn, and they used to bleep that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never heard that one bleeped.
No.
One wonders what they would do with Louie Louie by the Kingsmen.
They just didn't play it.
Well, no, we played it on the top 40 stations in D.C.
When it first came out, there were stations that did not play Louie Louie.
There were some stations who didn't play Peggy Lee. Is that all there is?
Yeah.
Because I swear to God, because it condoned, they thought it condoned suicide and making fun of the Almighty. Crazy fuckers running the business back in those days.
What were you saying, Tracy?
I was saying, you know, it tickles me what they bleep and they don't bleep. Years back, I was watching, I was flipping the channels, Blazing Saddles was on Comedy Central. And, you know, the infamous campfire scene. They bleeped out
the farts. Sounds, they bleeped the farts.
But they kept in nigger.
Well,
that part.
Didn't they use a horse whinny on some of that in the campfire scene?
Yeah.
Well, no. It was straight up farting. I mean, that was the whole thing, especially when they would rise up and fart. What in the wild, wild world farts going on here? But the fact that they bleeped out the farting sounds and left, you know, the ginger, and I'm like, really? So, you know, I wrote them. I'm like, really? So, farting is more offensive than ginger? I was beside myself. I'm like, really? That just really pissed me off. So you leave that word in, but you bleep out the farts. That's offensive. Okay.
Well, yeah. Tracy, I've got a bonus question for you. I don't know if you were here the other day. I was talking about the latest Dave Chappelle show, Sticks and Stones. Have you watched it?
I watched some of it. Man,
pretty hot.
It's bad. It's good, but it's like I was squirming a couple of times when I was watching it.
Hey, Tracy.
Dave has a gift, and that's
go Sparky, go.
Hey, it's the first time I've had talked to you since Yellowstone.
I told you, Sparky. I told you.
Man, so that one episode when Beth goes off on homegirl at the boutique, that one, I have erased all the episodes. I have that on my DVR safe permanently.
There was clapping.
Permanently. It was so choice. I was like, oh, I hope I can. I was like, ooh, I could talk to Duncan about this shit. Because I didn't see it till the day after. And then the season finale, I'm like, well, I'm torn. The only thing that, because you're talking about, you know, white guys taking Indian land and all that. But all that aside, that show is a motherfucker. God damn.
I like the scene where the guy says, oh, don't shoot me. Don't kill me on the toilet.
On the toilet.
And he goes, I promised my wife I'd kill you.
I killed you. I'm like, who comes up with these lines? And what about what dark part in your soul that would make you want to hurt a child? It's like, the writing in that show, and you know, and I thank you, Sparks, because had you not told me about it last year, I would never have watched that show. But
what's it called?
Yellowstone.
The season finale was last week, right? Was it last Wednesday?
Yeah, a week ago.
Hey, ooh. Tracy, I love the little Easter eggs in shows and stuff. In Pose, the second season, the first time she goes to the modeling talent search.
Yes.
Did you notice the mural on the wall behind her?
No, so now I got to go watch it again. Because like I said, I probably did and didn't pay attention.
No. If you'd noticed it, because Agnes and I were watching and we were like, no, it isn't.
Who was it?
Trump.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. It's like, throughout, you notice how throughout the season, like in the first season, they never really said his name. They never said his, you know, and he was never, but he was there, you know, Trump building, Trump towers, blah, blah, blah. I think this is the first time, I think that was the only kind of mention of him on this season was the picture of him, the poster.
It's a full mural over the wall when she walks in, and right. and it's Ooh. Just it's there for a couple of seconds, long enough for you to go, oh yuck. Hey, I need to interrupt because we only got about 35 minutes left in the program, and Rico was kind enough to put a $50 Stiller's Destroy the Pats challenge on the table. It may be the lack of maybe the lack of responses because everybody else is a Pats fan, but there's a $50 challenge on the table. We got $325 to end the week. And it would be magnificent if we could end the week with that $325 out of the way. But please don't leave a $50 challenge laying on the table for those who are out there listening. It would be really, really nice if Rico could get the challenge met. And you know what? If you want the Pats, you can chime back in saying, I'm answering Rico's challenge. Go Pats.
That part.
I mean, it works that way, too. So...
it is Tom Brady, you know.
So that would, you know, if Rico's challenge is met, that takes us down to 225, and then we knock out another $25, and we're only $200 in the hole coming into Monday. So the challenge is there. I hope folks will take note of it. The other thing I wanted to do, I mean, just a couple of semi-serious-ish stories. When I saw the story about Julius Geezer finally finding a patsy to take the fall for him on Alabama, and that it was a rear admiral. You see rear admiral, and you assume Navy. Well, it wasn't. The rear admiral that took the fall for him was a Coast Guard rear admiral. And that made the little wheels turn in my head. And I realized, and I remembered something that, you know, we were taught by Sailor Chick. The Coast Guard is not run by the Pentagon.
The Coast Guard is the DHS?
No, the Coast Guard is under the Department of Commerce.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
And so who is the slipperiest, sleaziest, crookedest one of members of Trump's cabinet?
Wilbur.
That's right, Wilbur. So it kind of made sense to me that they looked over to Wilbur and said, hey, Wilbur, you're sleazy as fuck. Go out and get somebody to take the fall and say that he told Tangerine Tiberius over there that Alabama was going to get the shit whipped out of it by Dorian the Hurricane.
Now, was this the guy who said, who had made that statement, like in the first hours of coverage of the hurricane, when they weren't sure where the hell it was going to go?
No, he briefed him on September the 1st and showed him some spaghetti.
Okay, but it was early enough to it was anybody's guess where the damn thing would end up, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that spaghetti model they showed was from the Florida something.
The Hurricane Center down in Florida, I think.
No, it was some water department or something.
Oh, a local thing, okay.
Yeah, with the disclaimer on it, Steve Colbert went all through it last night.
Got some surprise from Alexander that it wasn't Ben Carson. I'm shocked. The residential ginger is typically the fall guy, Alexander says.
must be saving old Ben for something really serious.
Is that the same as house?
Yes.
Residential?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Alexander may have explained the smoke too. Y'all were talking. You were talking about smoke, Tracy.
Uh huh. There's a fire somewhere over north of me.
He said. Let me find the note here. This may explain it. I'm here in Southern California, specifically Sylmar. I live in an assisted living facility. The Los Angeles County Fire Department just finished putting out a fire in the laundry room. They're still here, and it's now 95 degrees.
That wouldn't be, I mean, and the direction that the fire was in, that the smoke was in, wouldn't be surprised if that was Sylmar. Wow.
Fire in the laundry room, that's got to be putting your dainties and unmentionables in the dryer on the wrong heat setting.
Seriously, you
can't be doing that. Your G-string will go up like, well, never mind.
That'd be painful, Scott.
Well, no, not while you're rearing it. I mean,
sounds like a wind trap fire.
I got a little bit of food porn. It's nothing major, but so you guys, you know, whenever something cool comes out for weight, you know, that's, you know, 0 points or no points, everybody finds out about it for Weight Watchers, and, you know, you can never find the shit because once they, you know, it hits the stores, it's gone. So for years, I have been trying to get my hands on this thing. Have you guys ever heard of cotton candy grapes?
Yes, so, they are amazing.
So I went to Trader Joe's today and just to get some cheese because I'm making chicken tacos with my meat grinder on my stand mixer, Bob.
Yeah, rub it in. I know.
Rub it in, salt and wound. And I got my cheese. I was on my way out, and there was this big sign, cotton candy grapes, and there was like a whole display of them. Because every time I've ever tried, I have been trying for years to try this. Because every time I try to get them, by the time I get to either Sprouts, Gelson's, or whatever, they never have them. So I walked. I guess because I wasn't looking for them, and there they were. You know, they're expensive as all get out. I mean, it was like $9.
But they are what they say they are.
Yes. I mean, they're like $4. They're like $5 a pound. So they're $4 a pound. And so I bought 4 pounds. And I'm sitting here eating them while we're talking. I'm surprised that you guys didn't hear me smacking. But,
how do they compare to, like, regular white grapes?
They taste like cotton candy, Scott.
Dude, they taste like cotton candy.
But do they look different?
No, they look like regular plain old grapes.
They're like green table grapes, right?
Yeah, green seedless table grapes.
They're not genetically modified or chemically enhanced.
Nope.
Are they like a different breed or grown differently or?
Nope.
Well, I'll have to look for those.
I mean, they're a specific varietal, I guess. But that company or that clearinghouse specializes in those sort of interesting table grapes. Because, Tracy, there's another one, another variety called Moondrops.
Ooh.
And
they're called strawberry grapes.
Those moon drops are about as long as the first two knuckles of your little finger.
Nice.
They're sort of lengthy as opposed to globular, and they're just as sweet as can be. But those cotton, we got them once in the Wiggling Pig about 3 years ago. Never seen them since.
Well, so here's I wish there was a way I can ship you some because no.
Well, I picked them up and immediately took them over to share with the grandbabies because I figured their minds would be blown. But I think Agnes and me and our daughter's minds were blown more than theirs were.
Yeah, because they don't appreciate, you know.
Yeah, because they just live in a world where grapes taste like cotton candy, I guess.
Right. And then I also got these things called aprium. So it's part plum and part apricots.
Ooh.
Those are, yeah. These are those things. It's just, you know, why, you know, as much as California drives me crazy, LA traffic drives me nuts, I can't leave here. I can't.
No,
I just,
no.
I can't.
And you will be further convinced of that after you've done your up east tour.
Right. I mean, I love the fact that I can visit anywhere in this country, you know, and because I think, like you said, when I think the first time I actually went down south as an adult, and particularly when I was driving when we were in Savannah, and seeing the abject, just the poverty, you know, and it's bone crushing poverty, and I'm like, what's going on in this country? And this was before Trump. So I can't even imagine what is happening now, you know, and it saddens and sickens me all at the same time that we live in a country where people throw away food. I can't do it, Bob. I do my level best to make sure that I can go through everything in my kitchen, in my refrigerator, before I, you know, like when I cut a bunch of fruit the other day, and it wasn't going bad, but it was, you know, kind of heading that way. I scooped that shit up and threw it in the freezer so I can make smoothies out of it. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, anything that I can do, because I grew up poor. I grew up going, I've gone to bed hungry, you know, and so I know what it's like to struggle. I know what it's like to stretch, you know, food as long as you can. So for me to throw away food, it does something to my psyche. It's like it's right up there with me not voting as a Black woman, not voting. It just I can't. I'm one of these people that votes in every election, and it's just it boggles my mind when people don't vote and when people throw food away, the waste of things. And I'm getting off my soapbox now. I'm sorry. All this because I was talking about grapes.
Tracy, you want to hear something that'll drop your jaw?
What?
My high school that I went to 50 years ago, every student this year gets a free lunch.
That's a good thing, right?
Right.
Because they're trying to take that away, aren't they? Aren't they trying to make it
harder? No, not here in California. It's because the poverty level in our town.
Well, that's what you're saying. Because that's okay. I get what you're saying. Oh my God! So people are that poor that every student at the I'm slowing the uptake, Sparky. You got to help a sister out. So it's so bad there that every student in the high school.
Well, we have 40% or something like that. I read it in the paper the other day, and I just went, oh. But my mind's been in tune to our high school lately because it's our 50th
reunion. Are you going to the reunion?
No, I'm not going to the
reunion. Oh, Sparky, go to the reunion.
Go to the goddamn reunion, Sparky. If nothing else, to see how many Trump supporters there are, so you can talk shit about it.
The high school group I joined that these gals started that are the reunion. I only know one of them. I mean, I really remember one of them. But anyway, they said no political chat in this group, so they just started, and that one gal posted all the new construction that's going on at the high school. So I posted pictures from when I wired the new wood shop and machine shop and auto shop back in 2005, 2006.
Now, didn't you say who one of the women's U.S. soccer players went to your high school?
No, she went to the one I helped.
That you helped build?
Yeah, up in Reading. Megan Rapinoe's from Reading.
Ah.
She's like a superstar in Reading.
Well, she's a superstar everywhere. Isn't she the one that said, I'm not going to the fucking White House?
Yeah, that would be her.
Yeah. I'd say she's a double superstar then in that event.
Well, a woman of taste and great discernment, I would say.
Exactly.
And her mother's a well-known celebrity of Reading, too, because she's been worked at Jack's Grill for over 30 years, which is the main steakhouse in town for anybody that knows anybody. And she used to go in there all the time and visit.
So she apparently knows Jack then.
Jack's been gone for a long time. The place is just a hole in the wall, but it's been there since 1938.
Wow. I guess I'm pulling a Joe tonight, Bob, trying to get desperately getting cowbells, but that's okay, man. That wasn't so good.
I thought it was good.
Pretty good. Rick,
upon video review.
Oh, and I got one more TV notice to be on the lookout for. Anybody out there Breaking Bad fan?
Oh yeah,
the movie.
The movie?
Well,
that's
the
next
one
month, right?
Yeah, coming out El Camino on Netflix.
October 11th.
Nice.
You know what I'm doing, Sparky? I was a huge fan of Breaking Bad and now Better Call Saul. So what I'm doing in anticipation of the Breaking Bad movie on October 11th, I'm reviewing all of Breaking Bad and all of the first four seasons of Better Call Saul.
Wait a minute. Since Walter's dead, what are they going to do, a prequel?
If you, spoiler alert.
Did you see the ending?
Wait a minute.
Actually, he may not be dead.
I patiently explained all of this.
Hold the phone. Did you see the ending, Steve?
Yeah, I've seen it all. It ended with Blue. Final song.
Steve, you did not see a toe tag. No, admit it.
No, I did not see a toe tag.
I give up on you people.
Stop talking about Breaking Bad.
Get Walter out of your mind. The name of the movie is El Camino. If you saw the end of the movie, you'll know what the El Camino is about.
It's Todd's El Camino.
Right. Yeah. And who drives off in Todd's El Camino?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Jesse.
And so, okay.
Thanks, everyone.
All we really know is...
Well, goddamn, the movie's been out for 5 years, the series. Everybody watched it by now who wanted to watch it.
No,
well,
some of us don't get to, okay?
I won't give you the Sopranos ending
well,
either.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to... Bob, I'm not going to tell you how Gone with the Wind ended, okay? So, you know, I don't want to spoil it for you.
The
you
good
know?
Guys win. No, I got that one.
The last song was by Badfinger. And
yes,
all
I know. I know.
Okay.
I know.
All we know for sure about the movie is
that's right. He did go driving off in the
woods. Oh my gosh.
We know that Jesse Pinkman is in it, and we know that Skinny Pete is in it. But that's really all we know. Anything
See,
else?
You know what? You need to stop. You man.
I almost feel like giving $5 for every time Steve goes, ah!
that ain't me, that's Bob.
That's Bob, no, that's Bob.
Oh, is that Bob? Oh, jeez, okay.
I didn't know Bob was going to wait 8 years to watch the finale.
I'm in season 3!
Well, I guess
it's been long enough. Don't give me shit. No. Seriously, don't give me shit. There are millennials out there who aren't sure if Ross and Rachel are really going to get together. Okay. Netflix paid more for Friends than Europe pledged to put out the fires in the Amazon.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I've had a horrible day.
What does that tell you about the state of our world, huh?
You people.
Yeah. Money.
Walter Wright is round and walking tall, man.
Oh, and I want to thank Steve in New York for jumping in on Rico's challenge. There's only $40 left of it now and about 16 minutes left in the program. So,
Bob, hey, you know, Steve? You did a you people, Bob.
And the people I called you people damned well deserved it.
We know who we are. Okay, Steve.
Spoiler alert, people over here.
This is not a spoiler. Okay. There was a theory a couple of years ago that the AMC program, The Walking Dead, which I had never watched, was apparently tied in somehow to Breaking Bad, that it was a the Walking Dead walking around dead were a result of the cumulative effect of people ingesting Walter White's blue meth, and that's what made them be as they were in the series The Walking Dead.
I'll bite. Okay.
I got one better. Because not that you just, I mean, not that it's a tie-in, but there's a show that just finished on the CW called iZombie. And that was the basis of the show that somebody came up with this drug. And the drug in combination with some kind of like sports drink or whatever, like a Red Bull or something like that, goes to the combination of that drug and that sports drink turned the population of Seattle into zombies.
That is a great premise.
Well, God,
what else knew there about the
Bob,
people of Seattle?
When Breaking Bad ended, Don Imus was still on the air. Jesus Christ.
Maybe this was one of the Fridays you missed. I very patiently explained that I was enjoying watching it.
Okay.
But my lovely wife hates it with the heat of a million, billion, gajillion suns.
And you patiently explained it to me, as I recall.
For reasons that don't bear going into. So I have to do it in little doses.
Okay, well, okay. Walter White, his fate is unknown.
Okay, so Bob, are you going to watch The Irishman when it comes on Netflix?
Yeah, probably.
Better Call Saul's new series comes out in January, and I don't know how they're going to tie all this together. And there's a Sopranos prequel coming out not too long from now.
I'll have to
everything
talk to you
old
privately.
Is new again.
There you go, Duncan.
Steve, I've got to talk to you privately because I want to talk about the barrels of money from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And if they will figure in this movie.
You won't quit, will you?
Well, that is as nebulous a mention.
No,
because
now I got. No, because yeah, now I got to wait. I got to wonder where.
Last I remember, Hugh was leaning on him.
I think we need to get Bob a complete set of Breaking Bad so he can just watch it without having to wait.
Yeah,
for
I'll get him the Blu-ray set to make up for my gaffe.
Oh, hey, by the way, I got we're in college football season now, so I have a reason to live for the next 12 weeks or so. A real pro tweet. This is a good one. This business with Trump and the obsession with Dorian and Alabama and everything is worrisome because you realize that the president of the United States has become your ancient grandmother arguing that if we adopt the metric system, we'll never be able to tell time again. It was bad enough when it was a member of my family. It's horrifying that it's the president of the United States. But still, it's generated some high-quality comedy. Sean Fluharty is a Democratic, pretty progressive member of the West Virginia legislature. And he tweeted a couple of hours ago, Alabama still 55.5-point favorites tomorrow, even with Hurricane Dorian hammering down on them. That Nick Saban's pretty good.
That's a good
well,
one.
Well, in all seriousness, I think we should have a moment of thoughts and prayers for Alabama. The devastation, I mean, the humanity.
Isn't Alabama where the Bowling Green Massacre occurred?
Probably.
No. I thought that was Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Bowling Green, Ohio.
I thought the Bowling Green Massacre happened in Alabama. I mean, I also heard that Brigadoon was destroyed, too, in the hurricane.
Oh, absolutely. Certainly. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I just can't even... Again, you have to admit, Bob, we're in a whole new realm of crazy.
We got my Sharpie and...
I mean...
Well, more and more people are pointing out that the presidency is the only place, you know, if it was the CEO of an airline doing this, no, sorry, he's got to go. If it was the head of a fast food chain doing this, sorry, you're out of luck. You're out of a job. The only job in the world where you can be this nuts and not be touched is to be Donald Trump in the presidency. Because see, there'd have been if Barack Obama had said one billionth of what this crazy fuck has said, there would have been impeachment hearings that ran round the clock, and there would have and we would have been bombarded by martial music and dum 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 dum. This is a breaking news alert. 25th Amendment. Barack Obama. He's nuts. He's got to go. Why won't the cabinet act?
And frankly, if Obama had done one billionth of this, it would have been justified in invoking the 25th Amendment. See, that's what I always find the difference between us and them is I don't have a problem criticizing a Democrat or a liberal or whoever. I have no problem with that. When they're wrong, they're wrong.
Well, here's your silver lining, I think. I don't know how many of you still watch Saturday Night Live. Nothing spoilerish about this. Last season, if you watched the SNL, you didn't see much of Alec Baldwin on as Donald Trump. And I won't say that the show went easy on Trump last season, but maybe they're holding out for this next season that starts in a couple of weeks to really lay it on. Because they've had a whole year of Trump craziness to work from. I mean, the palette has got all kinds of colors on it.
When does that restart, Scott? Any idea?
Usually about the third Saturday in September in recent seasons.
Something to look forward to, isn't it?
And I'm pissed off that Leslie Jones is not among the cast this year. And I don't know whether there was a falling out or they didn't offer it to her or what, but she was one of the highlights of the cast, I thought.
She probably has better offers.
Well, maybe.
She got a voiceover. I know she got a voiceover gig with, I think, AT&T. I recognized her voice on the AT&T TV ads. Hey, as far as TV stuff is concerned, Robert in Australia also pointing out, good news, Monty Python's Flying Circus Norwegian Blu-ray edition. For fans of the show, it's being fully restored and released on Blu-ray by Network On Air with previously unseen footage.
Ooh.
I like spam.
Ooh, not
spam, 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 spam.
I'll have yours. I love it.
Am I the only one that can't stand Monty Python and thinks it's the most unfunny thing in the world?
Yes.
Probably.
Okay. Heresy.
I can't stand it. I remember watching it and just sitting there straight face like, this is stupid.
Bob, have you seen The Sopranos?
I love Benny Hill. I
don't hold that one for you either.
Oh, no. I saw it. Yeah. We're safe.
It fades to black.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I want to ask one of you and I's pedestrian, pedantic sports questions. I'm sitting here listening to the Reds a little bit, and you probably know, Marty Brenneman's, this is his last year.
Yeah.
Where do you think he ranks in play-by-play announcers?
He for sheer longevity, he has to be up there. You have to consider him.
Yeah.
Of course, when he and Nuxall were together, my God.
I don't think they were great. I mean, it was, you know, I have to tell you, the guy that he does with Jeff Brantley now, who used to pitch, and it's as close as I've heard to remind me of Nuxall, but that was a tradition with my grandparents. We used to Sunday afternoon just sit there outside with the, you know, drinking your sun tea after you had your barbecued hamburgers and hot dogs and
Nuxall was dead man talking.
Yeah, but he was great.
Oh, but lines like the old ball orchard.
Yeah.
God. That's, you know, that's the poetry of great baseball play-by-play.
Mm-hmm. I should know this because I lived in Cincinnati for about 5 years. Does Brenneman go back to the Crosley Field era?
No, he was, he's been there for 46 years. This is his 46th year, so that would go back to when?
73. He came in 74. He came in just after.
At the Riverfront.
Riverfront, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, Al Michaels did a couple years for the Reds.
Al Michaels was, I think he replaced Al Michaels. I think they may have actually announced together for a year or two.
Yep.
And then after that, I don't know when Nuxall joined. Because I don't think it was Michaels and Nuxall. I think it was Marty. I don't know when Marty joined.
And by the way, Steve, I saw a game in the last season at Crosley Field when I was a little boy.
Oh, cool!
There was a bar I used to go to.
Did anybody see Thursday Night Football last night? The opener?
No.
That was a total yawner. Ugh, I can't believe how bad the Bears looked.
Yeah, hey, but Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are dreaded dressing up as the 20s.
Like
gumshoes.
Yeah,
Bob.
I remember when Chris Collinsworth played football.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, but I mean, they pitched that so hard that I knew it was going to be a snooze fest.
Mm. Bob, if you're ever in Cincinnati, there's a bar that I used to go to called Crosley's, and under glass in one of the counters in a display case is a tiny replica of Crosley Field.
Oh, wow.
That somebody has created. I'll look online and see if I can find photos of it. I mean, the detail is intricate.
Well, yeah, this is a sociology experiment. I don't know who they're bringing it in for. I don't know who's buying it. But I happened to be in the Wally World in Somersville, West Virginia today. And I noticed that they actually have like half-gallon buckets of that godforsaken chili.
Oh, yeah. Skyline.
Yeah.
Skyline.
Oh, that Skyline?
Mmm, love me some Skyline.
You Ohioans. All right, Bob. Hey, Joe.
Here we go, Bob. Yeah, here we go. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota tonight. I'm going to see my nephew. I'm a great uncle now. But tomorrow I'm going to see the Indians play the Twins, and that'll be my 50th major league ballpark in my lifetime.
Oh, how cool.
Damn.
And that's a nice place to watch a ball game. Hey, guys, I hate to do it, but it's that time. I've got to turn it all around so that I can sit in for Malloy at 9. But it's been a blast. By the way, I got to give a cowbell just because of the way Lee in New York's mind works. Subject line: Hodgepodge. Putting it all together: music, football, Alabama, Deacon Blues by Steely Dan. Done.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Perfect. And by the way, Steve, just so you know, you have been awarded an official Burn the Unbeliever from Robert in Australia for your dissing of Monty Python. Yeah. You guys have a wonderful weekend. And thanks for a great conversation.
And Bob's the only one that's got to leave, remember?
Yeah. I got to bail out.
You doing Malloy tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to leave because I'm in my office and I want to get the F out of here. So.
Well, if Steve sticks around, Steve in Georgistan, if Bob's going to fix his equipment, so to speak, we can talk freely about some of my theories about Breaking Bad in this new movie.
You're hopeless. You are hopeless.
Yeah, he is.
You're not the first to say this, to be honest.
We also have a mini horror reunion coming up on Tuesday. Joe from Cleveland's coming out to San Diego.
I thought it was the 11th.
No, I think it's the 10th. Anyway, we're coming down to San Diego. We're going to take Scott to a steak dinner, and then Joe and I are going to go to the baseball game, Padres against the Cubs, and maybe we'll somehow like Shanghai.
And you're not taking Scotty
to the park.
But that's definitely Tuesday.
Yep. Yeah, it's Tuesday, I believe. Right, Joe? You there, Joe?
Tuesday. Yep.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm glad you said.
All right. Well, I will leave you to your Breaking Bad theorizing.
Well, I got a skedaddle, Scott. We'll have to do this some other time. And
okay.
And just a reminder, the game hasn't been played yet. So Rico's challenge has $40 to go on it. We've finished the week down 325, and hopefully over the weekend that will be ameliorated. So we're not building on digging ourselves a hole come Monday. But thanks, everybody. Thanks to the entire crew in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you very kindly to all of you who keep the program on the air, both as subscribers and on an ad hoc basis. Thank you so very much. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.